Good morning, everybody. So great to see all of you here, as well as the campuses that are joining with us. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and I'm glad that you're there today. Whichever campus you're joining us at, thank you for doing that today. We believe that God's got something special for you, so let's get ready to receive what God has for each and every one of us today. Would you take your Bible or whatever you've got the Word of God downloaded to, and let's make our confession together. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bible today and go to the book of Mark, the third chapter. Mark chapter 3 is where we are for this new series that I began last week with you on this subject of radical. And so we're just going to jump right into it today. Mark chapter 3, verse 13 says, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. We talked last week about in this passage there are three things that we see that the Lord called the apostles to do when he set forth this time where he is radically changing their world and their outlook. The first thing we talked about last week was that he called them to be with him. And we talked about last week what that means to be with the Lord. It means forsaking everything else and giving our life totally, radically to the Lord Jesus Christ. It means selling out. It means taking up our cross daily and following him and saying, God, you are number one. You're the number one priority of my life. Everything else is secondary to that. Amen? And we talked about that last week, preached hard and preached long and preached loud and got all the things in last week. And if you weren't here, go online and listen to it or pick it up at a CD because it is life-changing what I preached to you last week. But the second thing that Jesus said in this passage was not only did he say he wanted them to be with him, it also said that after they were with him, that he sent them out to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk about today. That you and I have been called to go out, that we have been sent out by the Lord Jesus Christ, that each and every one of us have been called to do that. Now, I know what a lot of us think. Well, Pastor, I'm not an evangelist. Well, I got you. I'm not either. But you know what the Apostle Paul told Timothy? There as he writes to Timothy, he says, Timothy, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to do the work of an evangelist. What's he saying? He's saying, look, everybody's not called. Everybody doesn't have the designation of an evangelist, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. You may not be an evangelist, but each and every one of us have been called of God to make a difference in people's lives. Amen? You believe that today? I believe that it is. The mandate that Jesus gave us is that we are to reach everyone for him. That we are not to leave anybody out in this process. That it is a radical call that God has made to us that we are to go out. In one passage he said that you're to go out into the highways, the byways, and even the hedges. Right? And he said, I want you to compel them. That word compel is a pretty strong word. He said, I want you to basically drag them in so that my house may be filled. He said, I want people's lives to be transformed and changed by the power and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's what I found as I studied this and looked at this passage and some things that I had never seen before, and that is this. Only after I have been with Jesus am I equipped to be sent out. All right? He doesn't just send us out. He wants us to spend time with him. And as we spend time with him, then he is in the process of equipping us to go out. In fact, listen to this. God does not call the equipped. He equips the called, right? Aren't you glad that you didn't have to have it all together when he called you? Amen? I mean, you still, let me ask this question. How many of you had a few things still messed up? Right? Let me ask this question and go even further. How many of you still got a... Okay, all right. Just checking who's really real this morning, right? And so as we begin to look at that, Jesus gathered the disciples together, and at one point, some scholars think 500 on the Mount of Ascension. And as he's talking with them before he's caught up into the heavenlies, Acts 1:8, he said to them, he said, look, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, here's what I want to say to you. There needs to be the power of the Holy Spirit operating through the church today. People need to see the power of God. In fact, that's what we're going to talk about next week in depth, is how that we look at how that God gives us power over the evil one. But people need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that he said, look, you're going to receive power after the Holy Spirit's come on you, and you're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We have been called by God Almighty, not just to one place, but we literally have been called to change lives, to change our world, right? That's what we're called to do, and that's what we believe as a church that God has given to us as a mandate in our life. Now, having said that, I think one of the things that has happened to the church is that we've kind of lost the vision. How many of you know that it's easy to lose vision for something? Right? I mean, you start off with something, you got a real passion for it, you've got a real desire, but after a few days, after a few weeks, it seems like we kind of lose that passion that we once had. There's a principle known as the Nehemiah principle that's taken out of the book of Nehemiah, where after 26 days of he's cast the vision, 26 days into it, they lose the vision, and he has to come back and recast it, so they'll go about doing it. And some scholars tell us that basically, every 26 days, you got to remind people what you've already told them, right? Have you found that to be true? You got to tell them, and then you got to tell them again, then you got to tell them again what you told them before. And then they still hadn't got it, so you tell them again. And then you, right? You tell them again. And what happens to a lot of us is that we really forget what it was like before we got saved. If you're a believer today and you know Jesus Christ, it's easy to kind of feel like you've always been saved. And we forget that once we were lost, but now we are found, that we have come to that place. But and so I just want to refresh your vision for a minute before I kind of drill down into the sermon today. And that is, number one is, we must believe people need Jesus. Amen. Jesus said it this way, I am the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. How many of you have seen these bumper stickers over the past few years that say coexist? In other words, it's made up of all different religious symbols, and it spells out coexist. Now, look, I'm all for that. I'm all for coexisting in that sense, but here's what I know. The Word of God tells me that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. That there's no other way that a human being can be saved unless they come into relationship with Jesus Christ. Somebody says, you telling me I'm going to hell? I'm not telling you anything. I'm just telling you that the Word of God says people need Jesus. And if we really believe that, we'd be a lot more passionate about going out into the highways and the byways and the hedges and bringing people into the kingdom of God. Let me say this to you. If you walk by a burning house and you know somebody is in that house asleep and you don't wake them up, there is something wrong with you. Correct? I mean, there's something bad wrong with who you are. In fact, we read all the time how people will break doors down, break out windows, and go in to rescue even a dog or a cat because it's been left behind. Well, if a dog or a cat is that important, how much more important is it for you and I to reach out to people and to let them know that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father? Amen? And so we've got to do that. Secondly, we've got to understand the destruction of sin. The Bible says this, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, I don't think it's just talking about the end time when Jesus Christ comes back and he judges us and he either says depart or he says enter into the joys of heaven. I think he's talking about in daily life where he, just like he told Adam and Eve, the day that you sin, you will surely die. There is that destruction that enters into our life. And let me say this to you, sin can bring pleasure into your life. How many of you know there's some pleasure in sin? Oh, you bunch of fakes. Wow. Come on, don't be fake in church. I don't know what he's talking about. Do you know what he's talking about? I've always been saved. I didn't know there was any fun in sin. You lie, you fry. All right, come on, there's some fun in sin. You've tried several things because they were fun, right? But here's the issue, is that what we start out thinking is going to be fun winds up in a place of destruction. We think that we're going to have liberty, and so we're just going to do it. How many times have you heard that? How many of you have had children in your house, and they reach that wonderful age of about 16 or 17 years old where they know everything? Do I get in too much trouble? You teenagers, just hang on, all right? And I have heard them say, maybe in my house, maybe it never happened in your house, I'll be so glad to get out of this house where nobody's going to tell me what. Oh, y'all heard that too, huh? And I just smile and say, go on out there, baby, because if you think we're rough on you, wait till you get out there. See, that's the way sin works. So sin comes in and says, I'm going to bring freedom into your life. But what sin does is sin brings destruction and masters your life and keeps you in bondage all the days of your life. Have you found that to be true? All right. Now, what we have to understand is this, is that we've got to expose the lies of Satan. All right. It's up to us as believers to expose the lies of Satan. Satan is a liar. In fact, Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning. Now, that's interesting. But Jesus said even when he was in heaven, he was a liar. I don't know how to deal with all that, but he says that's who he is. And he said he's the father of lies. And so what you and I have to understand that if the devil's telling it to you, if his lips are moving, he's lying to you, right? And so we've got to expose that. As believers, we need to tell people the devil's not your friend. The devil's not out to do good to you. He is out to destroy your life and everything about your life. Now, here's what we've got to come to an understanding about in this whole aspect of soul winning and evangelism and reaching people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is this, soul winning is not a program, it's a passion. All right? It's not something we're doing because we're going to sign up and we're going to be here on the first Saturday of the month. We're going to go out and knock doors. No, it's a lifestyle that we are doing day in and day out. Soul winning is not an event. It's the lifestyle that you are living throughout your life. But I want to say something to you, and I want you to understand, souls are the currency of eternity. That is what it's about, is that it's about the eternity. It's about souls that we have got to reach. Some way, somehow, we've got to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus told us how to do this. In fact, one day he shows up on the seashore, and he's walking around, and he sees some guys out there who are fishing, and he looked at them, and he made an interesting statement to them that I want to take for the next several minutes and show you how that you and I go about reaching people for Jesus. He said this in Matthew 4:19. He said to the disciples there, come and follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. The King James Version says it this way, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, he's talking to men who are there who have spent their life fishing. Why would Jesus say, you've been fishing for fish, but I'm going to show you how to fish for men? The reason I think that he used that analogy is because it is a great analogy in how that you and I can go about reaching people for Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you love to fish? Come on, hold your hand up. You just love to fish. You there? I hate it. I hate fishing. All right? Now, I love catching. All right, people come to me and say, you want to go fishing? Nope. Now, what going fishing means, I'm going to sit in a boat with you for 8 hours and drown a bunch of worms. I don't want to go fishing, but if you're going catching, I want to go. If you're going to go out there and you're going to bring something back when we get back, then I'm your guy. I'm ready to go. But if you're just going fishing, I'm not ready. So here's what I want to show us how to catch, okay? I want to show us how we get there and that we bring people into the kingdom of God. Number one is you've got to be prepared. Now, listen, I'm not a great fisherman, but I know this. If you're going to go fishing, you better get prepared to go fishing. All right? You got to do some things if you're going to go out there and you're going to do it. And in fact, one of the things that you've got to do is that you've got to watch and expect that something's going to happen. All right? Now, let me use that analogy there in everyday life. As you go forth, here's what the Word of God says about the harvest. The Scripture says, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest field, that he will send for fisher people into the streams and the valleys and the places where fish are. Now, here's what we have to understand, is that if the harvest is ready and Jesus said that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, then I can guarantee you, listen to what Pastor's going to say, I can guarantee you that before your day is over today, you're going to meet somebody who needs Jesus. Okay? I mean, unless you are, you know, cloistered away somewhere and it's just you and two other people and everybody knows Jesus, you're going to meet some people who know Jesus. Now, what we have to do is that just like when you're fishing, you got to be watching, but not only you're watching, you're expecting that something is going to happen. And in that, there's kind of a rhythm that develops, and you need to find out what the pattern is, okay? There's a pattern to catching fish. There's a pattern in your life when you're dealing with people and you're reaching out with them, and you need to find out what that pattern is in your life. How is it that God uses me? Does God speak to me? Do I hear, a directive from the Lord? Am I in my prayer time? Is God saying something to me about my neighbor, about my friend? How is it that God speaks to you in that moment? Because here's what I want to say to you. When you're coming to that place of moving into reaching and catching and bringing people into the kingdom of God, it's not enough just to go out there and just to say everybody ought to get saved. You've got to come to that place where God is speaking to you so that you know who it is that God is sending you to reach for his kingdom. Let me say this to you, and I'll drill down into it in a minute. Everybody's not ready to be saved, all right? So you've got to do research. You've got to kind of be willing to spend some time and some energy and some effort saying, Lord, I'm believing, I'm expecting, I'm looking today, but how is it that you're using my life to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ? The second thing is this, and this is where the church misses it, I believe, the most. You've got to go where the fish are, right? I know in Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner told us, if we build it, they will come. But first of all, that was a dumb movie, in my opinion. Hope it's not your favorite. But secondly, let me tell you, we can build buildings until the cows come home, but people are not coming. Here's the deal. Just because we've got a building here, Pastor, and it's on the side of the street, and everybody sees it that drives by, they ought to just come in. They don't want to come in. Why are you looking at me like that? They're not believers. They're not Christians. Why would they want to come to the house of God? They don't know they need Jesus, right? They're going to go where they're comfortable, right? And you and I have got to, listen, we've got to leave that place of comfort in our life to get out there to where the fish are. Here's what I found out. Maybe one or two people can do this. If you've got a couch on your front porch and the pond's on your front deck, maybe you can sit on your couch and catch fish. But if not, you're going to have to get up off the couch. You're going to have to hook the boat up. You're going to have to drive somewhere. You're going to have to get all the tackle. You're going to have to get all the bait. You got to do all the stuff. And you've got to get out of your comfort zone if you want to catch fish. And if you want to reach people for the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can't stand at the front doors and say, Lord, just send them on in. Send them on in, Lord. I'm just believing today that you're going to send them all in. We're just going to speak to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And they're just going to come flocking in. Well, we have spoken till our lips are blue and we're not filling up the house because God didn't tell us to command them. God told us to go into the harvest field and to reap the harvest that is ready to come in to the kingdom of God. And sometimes that's mean you're going to go into some places that are uncomfortable, some places you don't want to go, some places you wouldn't normally go, but God speaks to you and says, this is the place that you've got to go. And let me say this to you. You've got to understand the right place and the right time, all right? There's sometimes it's the right place, but it's the wrong time. All right? Everybody, listen, there's a understanding in people's lives that they move in their life from having no understanding of God until they come to that place where they understand not only about God, but they understand that they need Him. And here's what the scripture says. The Word of God says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Now, God's not calling people pigs. What He is saying to us is He's giving us a principle. Don't take the truth and throw it out there before somebody's ready. Now, let me tell you the quickest way to get somebody ready. You ready? Get ready? Get ready? Get ready. You ready to hear it? I need more. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. The quickest way to get somebody ready to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ is to see God move in their life and solve a problem on their behalf. Now, here's what I mean. If they're sick, you pray for them and they get healed. If they've got a problem, you pray for them and God delivers them. If something is going on, they have a financial need, you prayed over them and that financial need is met. You listen to me. In fact, you study the book of Acts. We'll talk about it next week. You study the book of Acts and you will find out that as the church grew, it grew every time because somebody got healed, somebody got delivered, somebody got raised from the dead. Something happened that got people's attention. Here's what I'll tell you. Everybody has their defenses up about Jesus until they need Him. But if you can walk into their life and you can meet a need in their life through the power of the Holy Spirit, all of their walls and barriers come down and they're ready to hear about Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, here's the third thing, all right? Number three is this. Fish at the proper depth. You say, what do you mean? Here's what I know. And again, I'm not a fisher person. But here's what I know. Different fish live at different places in the water. If you want to catch catfish, I do know this much. You got to go all the way to the bottom because they're mud suckers. I know you're going to go eat some for lunch, but that's all they do. They crawl around on the bottom and eat all that junk on the bottom, all right? That's what catfish do. If you want to catch brim, you got to come up. You want to catch, you got to move to where it is. And so we got to fish at the proper depth. And I'll quickly give you what I'm talking about. In the shallow depth, it's for unbelievers. You don't need to try to start explaining the book of Revelation. When I hear who it is who sits on the throne and here's who the harlot is, and they go, oh, that's that woman who lives down the road. It's in the book of Revelation, by the way. Not her, but I mean the... Come on, work with me. All right? They don't need to know all that. You know what they need to know? Once I was lost, now I'm found. Look what Jesus did for me, and He'll do the same for you. Right? You don't have to know 5,000 scriptures to tell them that story. In fact, the Bible says this. It says that we are called to be witnesses. It never says to you that you are called to be the judge or the prosecuting attorney. I see so many Christians, they think they're the prosecuting attorney. They walk in with their Bible under their arm, and they say, I want to tell you what, you're going to hell, you're going straight to hell, you will not collect $200, and you will not pass go. God didn't call you to do that. All that God called you to do was be a witness. Here's what a witness can do. In fact, if you've ever been in a courtroom, all that a witness can do is tell what they have seen and heard. That's what God's calling us to do as believers. Just tell them, look, here's what I know Jesus did for me. Here's where I used to be. Here's how I used to live. And the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. And I want to tell you, I'm not perfect, but I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. And so you're in that level. You got to go deep with some people, though. The deep are the backsliders. You need to look a backslider in the face. Are you ready? You need to look a backslider in the face and say to them, you know what the Bible says about putting your hand to the plow and turning back? You say, Pastor, you need to be that aggressive? Yeah, because a backslider knows Jesus loves them. They already got that settled. They know God cares about them. They just needed somebody to wake them up to the reality of the judgment of God. You say, well, I don't believe we all talk to people about the judgment of God. Well, the Bible talks about it time and time again. And who do we use that? It's used for people who have backslidden, who have walked away from God, who have chosen to turn their back on the things of God. We've got to be willing to say, wait a minute, let me talk to you about Jesus, and let me show you that if you don't get your relationship back right with God, that you're going to spend an eternity without Him, and you need to know that, and we need to be real with people about that. Amen? But thirdly, all the way through, keep it simple. Keep it simple. I don't know about Daniel's vision and his beast with the 10 toes. I don't know who the 10 toes are. I don't know if that's the European Union. I don't know. All that I know is everybody that keeps writing these books that I've read, they've all been wrong. Because every one of them have told me when Jesus was coming back and who the Antichrist was, and all of their Antichrists have died and all their dates have passed. So I don't even care. Here's what I know. One day Jesus is coming back, and if I'm ready, I'm going, and if I'm not, I'm not. That's what I know, all right? So I'm not going to try to get in, and listen, they're going to say to you, well, what about my grandmama? My grandmama was a good woman. Are you telling me my grandmama going to hell? Whoa, wait a minute. I'm not talking about grandmama. I'm talking about you. I'm not her judge. I'm a witness. Do you understand? We allow people to sidetrack us and get us into arguments that we don't need to be in. We're not arguing with people. You don't go down to the fishing hole and start arguing with the fish. Hey, I want to tell you something, you stupid fish. And yet that's how we treat people. And yet Jesus said you're to be fishers of people. We're to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fourth thing is this, is use the proper appeal. All right, in fishing, it's called bait. Some fish you're going to have to use a worm with. Some others you're going to have to use some kind of a spinner with. You got to use crickets. You got to use whatever. All right? But you've got to understand that different fish are going to eat different things in your approach. And I love, listen, don't misunderstand what I'm going to say. I love all the training that's out there about how to evangelize and tell people about Jesus. I love, back in the day, evangelism explosion, the four spiritual laws, and the ABCs of salvation, the Roman road, Romans 3, Romans 6. I love every bit of it, but here's what I know. Every bit of that is of no use if I'm not led by the Spirit. Okay? You've got to understand where you're at and who you're talking to. So be versatile, all right? Don't just have a one string on your guitar. Well, I found it. Wang, wang, wang. Well, the rest of us wish you'd go ahead and put five more on there and find some others. Okay? So don't just say, well, I take everybody down the Roman road. You know, I tell everybody that they're lost without, and you go through that. Well, that's wonderful. I tell everybody about the four spiritual laws. Or I tell everybody, that you've got to admit, and you've got to believe, and you've got to confess. All of that's good. All of that's wonderful. But you've got to be versatile in your approach. Let me say it this way. You've got to pay attention when you're talking. See, your presentation is everything. Do you know that Christians are some of the worst people about listening that there are? Uh-oh. We really are. We've already got the answers, and we're not even listening to what they're saying. And so we've got to pay attention. We've got to say, what's going on in this moment as we're presenting the Lord Jesus Christ to them? And we've got to be led by the Spirit. And if you're here today, let me say this to you. Jesus Christ has already been presented to you. You've already heard the word through worship today. You've heard the word through singing today. You're ready right now where you are to receive Jesus Christ. You don't even have to wait till the end of this service. You can get saved right now, right where you're at. Amen. All you got to do is confess the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart, and the Bible says you'll be saved. Do y'all really believe that? That's what the Word of God tells us. Number five is this, is that you've got to celebrate success. Now, let me tell you what success is. Success is not just when somebody gets saved. That's what we think. Well, if they get saved, that's success. No. Success is every time I'm obedient. Every time I do what the Lord told me to do, which is go into the harvest and reap the harvest. So I'm to go out and I'm to tell people about Jesus. It's not up to me. Listen to me. It's not up to me whether or not they get saved. Do you believe that? It really is. It's not my responsibility to save people. I didn't die for anybody. All that I'm called to do is to share Jesus Christ with them, and then it's up to them what they do. See, I've got to come to that place. Now, having said that, I've got to analyze what worked and what failed. If I'm talking to somebody, I'm really paying attention, I'm going to know if something is working, and then all of a sudden it's like they just shut down on me. Well, what failed? What happened at that moment? And I've got to, you know, kind of get with it there and kind of understand and say, okay, next time I need to do better here or whatever. In other words, what I mean by that is you got to put in the time that it's going to take to figure out how to become skillful. Here's what I know about people who go catching and don't go fishing. People who go catching have put in the time to figure out how to be successful. It's up to us to put in the time. Now listen, I need to tell people, but I also need to be wise. I need to do it to the best of my ability. If eternity is real, if heaven is wonderful and hell is horrible, then I need to become an expert at fishing for people and telling them about Jesus Christ. And the sixth thing is this, never give up. Never, ever, ever, ever give up. Because you don't know. The Bible says that if you keep on and you don't faint, in due season, you're going to reap. You just say, you know what? I told so-and-so about Jesus. They hadn't got saved yet, but I planted a seed. I told somebody else about Jesus, and they didn't get saved, but I planted a seed. And here's what I know. They have told us they have found seeds. I don't know how many of you know about the Dead Sea Scrolls that have been found, and some of them have been in there well over 1,000 years. And they literally were seeds that were in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And they took those seeds out, and they put them in dirt, and they watered them, and those seeds came to life. So you never know. The Bible, the Apostle Paul said, one plants, one waters, but it's God who gives the increase. So what I'm called to do is to do what God calls me to do, to tell people about Jesus Christ. And it's the most exciting thing. Let me say this as I wrap this up today. One of the most exciting things, if not the very most exciting thing you'll ever do as a Christian, is when you tell somebody about Jesus and you see them get saved. And you see their life being transformed, and you see them in church, and you see them living for God, and you see that old lifestyle being transformed and coming into that place where God is now their Lord and their Savior. There is nothing any greater than that. And so I challenge you, if you've never told anybody about Jesus, why don't you make this week the week where you determine, you know what, I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm going to look for the opportunity. I am going to be the person who says, I'm waiting for this person, and God's going to send them my way, and I'm going to have the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. Amen. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, let me say this. Ask God for a passion for people. All right? Let people become a passion. I can't stand people. Well, you are one. That means you can't stand yourself. All right? So ask God for a passion for people. Secondly, be real. All right? If they ask you a question and you don't know the answer, just go, I really don't know the answer to that. That's so much better than saying, well, and making up stuff. Right? Just be real. And lastly, love people. One of the first scriptures we probably learned in Sunday school and children's education was, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. If God loves humanity that much, shouldn't we love humanity that much? Shouldn't we care about that person at work who's going to come in tomorrow and is going to have lived a lifestyle this weekend that's messed up? And they're going to talk to you about it, and they're going to brag about all that they did. But deep down in their heart, you see the hollowness, and they're like, there's something missing. Or that person who's your next door neighbor who doesn't know Jesus, and you look at them and you see their life and you know they need Jesus. And what we've got to do is sometimes we've got to see past the bravado that people put out, and we've got to see into their heart. And here's what I know. Everybody who doesn't know Jesus yet needs him. There's nobody who doesn't need Jesus. And we have the opportunity to make a difference in people's lives week in and week out by sharing Jesus Christ with them. Amen.